final segment of the night. It's part two of the legendary Dwayne De Rosario, who has a book out now.
So I got two big questions here. Number one, I agree with you. I don't think MLS ever promoted you as much as they should. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, 100%.
Number two, if the Houston Dynamo had done better financially and shown a little bit more love, would you have stayed?
I loved Houston, man. I still love Houston for sure. I think it would have made it tougher for me to say no, you know, because it would have put me in a position, in my family position. We had a house out there, you know what I mean? We were comfortable. Our kids liked it. It would be hard for us to turn it down.
Yeah, because I'm thinking here, you go for that shot for the third title, you get that third title, you go for it, and Toronto's going to be there for you. I mean, I can't mm-hmm. see Toronto never not wanting Dwayne De Rosario. That's right. Kind of the way I was looking at it. Okay, 2008, you have the All-Star Party in Toronto. I like this part that I read. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but you basically do an event with your brother. You have a company called Dero Entertainment. You do an event in Toronto, and to your theme of wanting to show your city off and show it off in a different way, this is all about you and your entertainment company. I'm not sure it was financially the greatest thing for you, according to the book, but it did achieve what you wanted, and that was, you know, you wanted the Beckhams and all these different people that were coming to Toronto to get to understand the city and maybe the culture and the music scene and some of the really cool things a little bit more.
Well, and to be honest, Glenn, it wasn't just that. It was also just soccer, just putting soccer in that, you know, NBA has the All-Star game. They have their players throwing parties. So I'm always like, why can't we could do the same thing, right? Yeah. So I said, in Toronto, we're gonna make it happen. Yes, financially, at the end, I was kicking myself in the behind, but I was happy of the product we were able to put together. You know, Beckham had another gig somewhere and he stayed there the whole night. He said, forget it, I ain't going there. I'm having so much time. Kevin Hart was there. Estelle was there. Cardinal Official was there. You know, Maestro Fresh West. So these are big Canadian artists was there. Yeah. You know, so we had the who's who there. Of course, Blanco was there. You know, Landon, all these guys, they're having a great time. And for me, it's like, this is what it's about. This is what the game is about. This is what the All-Star energy is about. And I don't even think to date if there was anything done similar to that to this day.
Well, what's neat about it is it was generated by you organically. I mean, it wasn't something that the league puts on. And
right.
You know, and I'm not bad-mouthing the league for one second here. I mean, you have to do those things. But there is an organic nature to it, right? I mean, it's the Dero party. It's not the right. So-and-so party brought to you by, you know. So
and
pretty cool.
And that's, again, what because I've been fortunate to play in quite a few of these All-Star games, and you don't see a player, you know, hosting their own party, as I mentioned, like you would see in other pro leagues, right? It's just unheard of. So I was fortunate to be the first one. And, you know, hopefully – down the road, I'll be able to do more like these and encourage players to make soccer cool. Make it, you know, it is a cool sport. It is a highly favored sport. It is, people are attracted to the sport. As we see now, look at those artists and actors investing in MLS teams now, and NBA players investing in MLS teams now. So there's something to be said about that.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us. New book. It's called Dero, My Life. He wrote it with Brendan Dunlop. The foreword by the boxer, Lennox Lewis. You can get it at DwayneDeRosario.com. I'm going to hit Dwayne up and give a book away on the show as well. There's a coach I want to mention here, Bruce Twomley. I remember him. I think he was a player also, if I'm correct.
Yes, yep,
he was. How many influence he had on you?
Oh, man. Bruce, yeah. Tremendous guy. Yes, he was a player, a coach that really saw me for me, really appreciated what I brought to the table, and really wanted me to continue to be me on the field. He wasn't really trying to change me too much, even though he did have his ways of how he saw me in the formation, how he did want me to play. But he was the first real coach at the Canadian national team or any level that really embraced my style of play, playing with flair, taking guys on, creating 1v1 situations. So me and him had a great relationship. There was times where, we had training camps in Vancouver and I would stay by his house. He'd take me under his wing. And I never seen a guy love football so much more as much as my dad. And he was that guy. You know, he created an opportunity to go try in Barcelona where Bobby Robson was the coach. He had a great relationship with him, as I shared in the book. So there's just so much things that man did for me, encouraged me, inspired me to be me. And he truly helped me in my career to be where I was, to be able to accomplish those accolades. I don't think I would be able to do it if it wasn't for guys like him.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us again. The book is D-Row, My Life, and Dwayne writes it with Brendan Dunlop. And in that book, you'll find out about the time when Dwayne went over to Barcelona. And I don't want to give a lot of that kind of stuff away. You know what I always loved? And you used the word dangled. And basically, you used the ball as almost like a fishing lure. You baited people in and used that ball to kind of tease defenders and get them to commit defensively. And then, obviously, you'd blow by them. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, that comes from my childhood upbringing. We would always play a game called Salad, right? And Salad is, the object of Salad is you got to put the ball through the net. I mean, through the guy's legs.
Through the legs,
so,
yeah.
You're right. So we would say, okay, there's maybe 5-6s playing, and there would be a garbage can or a tree or whatever, a stick. And if you got the ball through your legs, you have to run and touch the stick. So, but while you're running and touch the sticks, guys could kick you, hit you, whatever the case is. It's just one of those crazy but fun games, right? It was with us. We had a lot of fun playing. So when you play Salad, it just kind of give you a visual of that kind of bait move I always do, is you have to do something to get the guy's legs open, because a lot of guys hold their legs together and they'll keep it like that because they don't want you to put through their legs. So you have to do something to try to get them to open their leg just a little bit to try to get the ball through. And, a lot of people that play in the West Indian communities and the culture, it's not about who won. It's about who did the coolest move, who that's what the game was about. That's what the excitement is about. And that's where I got a lot of that kind of style of play from, just dribbling slow. Thierry Henry does it very well too. Carries the ball slow with his right foot, wait for you to commit and then take off with pace. And no different than something that I've used as a childhood at the pro level.
Dwayne De Rosario joining us. Dwayne, I want to take you back to something you just said a few minutes ago about Bruce Twomley, who was a Canadian coach that, kind of gave you that freedom to play the game the way you want of. When you get in that conflict as a player with a coach who's trying to get you to do some other things, yet mm-hmm. you have this idea of the game, how's the best way now, looking back, to maybe navigate that, right? Because players are going to have to do things to a degree differently for coaches, depending on who you are. How would you, or what would you suggest to a young player in how to handle a situation like that when a coach is asking you to do other things and you feel like you may be losing your identity as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and there's no right or wrong way, but my way would be to really find that balance, right? Because at the end of the day, you do have to play according to how the coach sees you fitting into his system or his style of play. I had to learn that too, that in certain areas of the field, there's no need to take those, certain risks. Like, I don't need to salad a guy or put it through a guy's leg in my own 18. Mind you, I would. And you probably see me do it before. And you're like, oh,
I've seen you do it, yes.
That's a ballsy move, right? But it's not something that I would do consistently, right? And I think having coaches like, again, Bruce Twomley, having coaches like Dominic, Frank Yalp, they really understood what I was good at. But they're also able to help me understand the things that maybe, because maybe I was hard-headed, they say, listen, you can't dribble everybody. You got to learn when to let it go and when to play. And as soon as I started to play more in that midfield role, I really started to enjoy that a lot more and let the ball do a lot of running, let the ball doing a lot of play. So to answer your question, I think finding the right balance where, yes, you're not taking away who you are, but you're also creating space to learn and to develop, because that information the coach might be telling you might be the difference why you may be not playing, or maybe not, or the opportunity to move to a bigger club or a bigger team. You know, it's really finding out what kind of player you are and what do you bring to the table, right? I think right now we find a lot of players want to be Cristiano, want to be Messi's, and, you know, to not understand, like, these, they're very special, right? They're just special. So, you know, we have a guy that I always kind of highlight when someone asks me that a question like that is Brian Mullen, right? Brian Mullen, not the flashiest player. When you look at him, you won't say, oh, this guy's amazing or whatever. But talk about a guy that's consistent, does one or two moves very well, and he does it consistent, and he knows what he's good at, and he sticks to what he's good at. You know, a lot of coaches like those players, right? And I would take more of a gamble on that player than a player that is a little bit more of a risk taker and wants to take risks. Just knowing when and when not to do it, I think is important. And also, just one more thing, you always have to create room to listen, right? You can't think you always know it all as a player. Even though you've maybe accomplished so many things, you always have to give room, because you never know if something a coach is saying is like, you know what? He's I could see that. He's right about that. Let me change this. Let me change that. Let me tweak this. Let me tweak that. So you always got to be able to listen and observe and learn. And that's how you become, I think, a more well-rounded player.
Fantastic answer. And this is why this is such a great book, because it has a lot of different names and people that Dwayne played with and against and moments. But it's also got a lot of really good lessons for soccer players in it, I think. This is why it makes it a really, really interesting read. Two questions before I let you go. I did see something in the book where you talk about Christine Sinclair, the legendary women's goal scorer on the Canadian women's national team. I've called a ton of her games. And you mentioned Alphonso Davies, and you said, you know, kind of, hey, let's put a few, you know, posters of them up in Canada, as opposed to always Messi and Ronaldo, and let's kind of honor some of our greats.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's something that I've always dealt with as a kid, you know, growing up and going to soccer stores, and I've never seen anyone being represented. You know, I've never seen Alex Bunbury in a soccer store, Paul Pechlid or Craig Forrest. And these are guys playing, doing very well for our country, but you don't see them, right? In fact, not only do you not see them in stores, you don't see them anyway. You don't even see them a part of our program. But, you know, it's just recognizing our own. I know Canadians are very nice, we're very humble, but it's also nice to know that you can go in a sports store and see, hey, you know what? That's Alphonso Davies, or that's Christine Sinclair. You know, they did this, they did that, and because they're very marketable people, right? You don't even see Steve Nash, and he's an NBA legend, Jamal McLaurin. So, you know, that's just my Canadian pride talking, and just, you know, asking the reader, have you ever seen any billboard or any signs? We see all the American great athletes, which is okay. I mean, deservedly so, but we also have Canadian great athletes that we need to highlight on this side of the, tracks that we don't, you know, and we need to do a better job of that as Canadians.
Yeah, honoring that great soccer history and great athletic history. Okay, so I'm a big music guy, as you know, and I know you're a big music guy as well. Give me some of your latest that you've been listening to that's got a good little reggae vibe to it. What are some of your bands you're listening to now? I mean, not the old school stuff that we know, but maybe some fresh new bands.
Yeah, you know, I'm an old school guy. You know, I can't lie. I love my old school music, but recently, you know, obviously having kids and stuff like that, I'm really liking the Khaled, DJ Khaled's new album. It's just, again, I think I like Khaled and I respect him a lot more just because of his story. You know, he was a ball boy for the Bulls. The Bulls, one of them too, is a ball boy for, made his way into the music scene, and now look at him. I mean, what another great story. And so obviously knowing his story, I'm a little bit bias towards that. And the artist that he was able to put on this new album is just amazing. And him not even being an artist, him being more of a producer, was phenomenal. And I really like the songs that are on there. I like the messages of the songs that are on there. And for me, I like music with a message. Other than that, there's, you know, I love my reggae. So, you know, I love what how the reggae and the culture side is going with Protégé and Chronix. I really like what they're doing and preserving the culture. And on the hip hop side, you know, I'm still really navigating through there. But as I said, I think, you know, Khaled, the album is, you know, really, really fresh.
And I assume you listen to a lot of Marley, Tosh, Toots and the Third World. That's what I'm listening to always.
That never stops. The Steel Pulses, the Burning Spears, those. Those are always on the playlist.
Incredible stuff. I love that song Pressure Drop by Toots and the Maytals.
Yes.
Another good one. Okay, so last thing before you go, and this is an interesting one for me to hear the answer from you. Alphonso Davies now, with what he's doing at Bayern Munich, and we're all just, you know, just in awe of this kid's talent and his potential even. It's even hard to believe we're talking about his potential, but he still has a window, I think, and a high ceiling. What has that done for Canada? I mean, how much attention is being paid to him in Canada when it comes to soccer, Alphonso Davies?
He's getting some attention, not as much as I would like, but I think what he's been able to do, again, another great story. I think it's another compelling story of a young kid that really have made the best out of the opportunities that living in a place like Canada provides, and taking it with both hands. You know, at first he went through his trials and tribulations as a young footballer, being doubted by people, Vancouver taking him on, and of course a player that I've played with at TFC, Carl Robinson, really giving him that boost and that extra push. Shout out to Carl for really putting him on the stage at such a young age, where people were questioning him and saying, why are you putting this kid shouldn't be playing, we're trying to fight for points. But he believed in him. He saw something that no one else saw in him and gave him his first real exposure. And of course, salute to Alphonso for capitalizing on that and creating a, you know, in the span of 2-3 years, winning everything there was to win in Europe, you know, and now looking, like you said, the potential is endless. Now, whether or not he could translate that with the national team is a whole nother conversation. That's not easy. As we know, it's tough at that level, at the international level, to represent your national team and to beat, especially Central American teams in Central America. But, you know, I wish them all the best. I hope that he really elevates the team and puts them on their back, and I hope the rest of the players feed off of his energy, because it's a great opportunity right now with all the excitement around the game and what he's been able to accomplish with 2026 on the horizon. Hopefully we can use that as motivation to push us over the top. And, you know, I think it's a great time for the sport in this country.
Dwayne, listen, this has been a real pleasure. I think we could have went on and on and on, but it's so interesting to talk about your career. I love the messaging in here along with all the things you've achieved and you will continue to achieve off the field, because you are a giver. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. It was a real treat, I think, for my listeners.
I appreciate it, Glenn. Always a pleasure getting on your show, and I always appreciate the support, man. You take care of yourself.
All right, that's Dwayne De Rosario. D-Row, My Life is the Book. DwayneDeRosario.com. That's where you get it.